This article will be studied during the week of December 22nd to 28th. Keep your minds fixed on the things above. Theme text: Keep your minds fixed on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. How would you answer? How did Abraham and Sarah demonstrate their faith in Jehovah? How do we know that Moses was focused on doing God's will? In what ways can we keep our minds fixed on the things above? Paragraphs 1 and 2, Question A. What shows that the first century congregation in Colossae was under attack? Question B. What counsel was provided to help the brothers in Colossae remain steadfast? The first century Christian congregation in Colossae was under attack. Some within the congregation were creating divisions by promoting adherence to the Mosaic law. Others were advocating the pagan philosophy of asceticism, which involved extreme self-denial. In counteracting these false teachings, the Apostle Paul wrote an encouraging letter, cautioning the Colossians, "Look out that no one takes you captive by means of the philosophy and empty deception according to human tradition, according to the elementary things of the world, and not according to Christ." Colossians 2:8. If those anointed Christians focused their minds on the elementary things of the world, they would be turning their backs on Jehovah's provision for salvation. Colossians 2:20-23. In order to help them safeguard their precious relationship with God, Paul admonished them, "Keep your minds fixed on the things above, not on the things on the earth." Colossians 3:2. Yes, Christ's brothers were to keep in mind their hope of receiving the incorruptible inheritance that was reserved for them in the heavens. Paragraph 3, Question A. What hope do anointed Christians keep in mind? Question B. What questions will we consider in this article? Today, anointed Christians likewise keep their minds fixed on God's heavenly kingdom and on their hope of being joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8:14-17. But what about those who have an earthly hope? How do Paul's words apply to them? In what way can the other sheep keep in mind the things above? And how can all of us benefit by considering the examples of such faithful men of old as Abraham and Moses, who despite personal hardships kept their minds fixed on the things above? What it means to fix our minds on the things above. Paragraph 4, Question: How can the other sheep keep their minds fixed on the things above? Although the other sheep do not have a heavenly hope, they too can keep in mind the things above. How? By putting Jehovah God and kingdom interests first in their lives. To that end, we look to Christ as our model. Like our first century brothers, we encounter false reasonings, worldly philosophies, and materialistic attitudes in Satan's system of things. 2 Corinthians 10:5 reads, "For we are overturning reasonings and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are bringing every thought into captivity to make it obedient to the Christ." As imitators of Jesus, we need to be vigilant in guarding against such attacks on our spirituality. Paragraph 5, Question: How can we examine our thinking about materialistic pursuits? Has the world's view of material pursuits made inroads into our lives? The things we love are usually evident by our thoughts and actions. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6:21. To determine where our heart is leading us, it is good to examine ourselves from time to time. Ask yourself, "How much time do I spend thinking about money matters? Do concerns over business prospects, investments, or reaching out for a more comfortable lifestyle occupy large blocks of my time? Or do I strive to maintain an eye that is focused on spiritual matters? Jesus indicated that those who place primary emphasis on storing up treasures on the earth put themselves in grave spiritual danger. Paragraph 6. Question: How do we win the battle against fleshly tendencies? Our imperfect flesh inclines us toward indulging in things that are pleasing to our senses. Romans 7:21-25 reads, "I find then this law in my case: when I wish to do what is right, what is bad is present with me. I really delight in the law of God according to the man I am within, but I see in my body another law, warring against the law of my mind and leading me captive to sin's law that is in my body. Miserable man that I am! Who will rescue me from the body undergoing this death? Thanks to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to God's law, but with my flesh, to sin's law." Without God's Holy Spirit operating in our lives, we may give in to the works belonging to darkness. This could include such acts as wild parties and drunkenness, immoral intercourse and brazen conduct. Romans 13:12-13. To win the battle against the things on the earth, things that appeal to the flesh, we must keep our minds fixed on the things above. Doing this requires effort. That is why the Apostle Paul said, "I pummel my body and lead it as a slave." 1 Corinthians 9:27. Without a doubt, we cannot be easy on ourselves if we are to remain in the race for life. Let us consider what two faithful men of old did to please God well. Hebrews 11:6. Abraham put faith in Jehovah. Paragraphs 7 and 8. Question A: What problems did Abraham and Sarah face? Question B: On what did Abraham focus his mind? When Jehovah directed Abraham to move his household to the land of Canaan, he willingly complied. Because of Abraham's faith and obedience, Jehovah established a covenant with him, saying, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." Genesis 12:2. Years later, however, Abraham and his wife Sarah were still childless. Had Jehovah forgotten the promise that he had made to Abraham? Moreover, life in Canaan was not easy. Abraham and his household had left behind their home and relatives in Ur, a prosperous city in Mesopotamia. They traveled over 1,000 miles, or 1,600 kilometers, to reach Canaan, where they lived in tents, endured famine, and faced marauders. Yet, they had no desire to return to the comforts in Ur. Hebrews 11:8-12 reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, although not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as a foreigner in the land of the promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the very same promise. For he was awaiting the city having real foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith also Sarah received power to conceive offspring, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who made the promise. For this reason, from one man who was as good as dead, there were born children, as many as the stars of heaven in number and as innumerable as the sands by the seaside." Verse 15 reads, "And yet, if they had kept remembering the place from which they had departed, they would have had opportunity to return." Rather than focus on the things on the earth, Abraham put faith in Jehovah. Genesis 15:6. Yes, he fixed his mind on the things above in that he concentrated on God's promises. As a result, Abraham's faith was rewarded when the Most High God appeared to him and said, Look up, please, to the heavens and count the stars if you are able to do so. Then he said to him, So your offspring will become. Genesis 15:5. How reassuring that must have been. Every time Abraham gazed up at the starry heavens, he would be reminded of Jehovah's promise to multiply his offspring. And in God's due time, Abraham did produce an heir, just as was promised. Paragraph 9. Question. How will following Abraham's example encourage us to keep busy in God's service? Like Abraham, we too are awaiting the fulfillment of God's promises. If we do not keep our minds fixed on the things above, the fulfillment of these promises could appear to be delayed, and we might slow down in our spiritual activities. For example, did you make sacrifices in the past in order to engage in the pioneer ministry or in some other form of expanded service? If so, you are to be commended. What about now? Remember, Abraham kept in mind the city having real foundations. Hebrews 11:10. He put faith in Jehovah, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3. Moses saw the one who is invisible. Paragraph 10. Question. What kind of life did Moses have as a youth? Another man who kept his mind fixed on the things above was Moses. As a youth, he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. This was no ordinary education. Not only was Egypt the preeminent power at the time, but Moses was living in Pharaoh's household. Little wonder that with this advanced education, Moses became powerful in his words and deeds. Acts 7:22. Imagine the possibilities this would have opened up for him. Yet, Moses had his mind set on more lofty matters, on doing God's will. Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question. What education did Moses highly esteem? And how do we know? Early in his life, Moses' own mother, Jochebed, had surely taught him about the God of the Hebrews. Moses highly esteemed the knowledge of Jehovah and considered it to be of greater value than any other riches. He thereby forfeited the privileges and opportunities that would likely have come to him because he lived in Pharaoh's household. Hebrews 11:24-27 reads, By faith Moses, when grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin, because he considered the reproach of the Christ to be riches greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked intently toward the payment of the reward. By faith he left Egypt, but not fearing the anger of the king, for he continued steadfast as seeing the one who is invisible. Indeed, Moses' spiritual education and his faith in Jehovah moved him to fix his mind on the things above. Moses was given the best secular education that was available in his day, but did he use it to advance his career in Egypt, make a name for himself, or acquire material possessions? No. Had he done so, he would not have refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin. Clearly, Moses used his spiritual education to advance Jehovah's purpose. Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question A. What helped Moses to qualify for the assignment that Jehovah would give him? Question B. Like Moses, what may we need to do? Moses was keenly interested in Jehovah and his people. At 40 years of age, Moses thought that he was ready to help liberate God's people from Egyptian bondage. However, before Jehovah could give him that assignment, Moses needed something more. He needed to cultivate such qualities as humility, patience, mildness, and self-control. Moses needed training that would prepare him to endure the trials and hardships that lay ahead. A few decades as a shepherd would provide the training he needed to cultivate these godly qualities. Did Moses learn from the practical training he received as a shepherd? Indeed, he did. God's word says that Moses became by far the meekest of all the men on the face of the earth. Numbers 12:3. He had cultivated humility, which helped him to deal patiently with a variety of people and their difficult problems. Likewise, we may need to cultivate spiritual qualities that will help us to pass through the great tribulation into God's righteous new world. Revelation 7:14. Are we able to get along with people, including those whom we consider to be temperamental or overly sensitive? We do well to heed the words of the Apostle Peter, who urged fellow believers, "Honor men of all sorts. Have love for the whole association of brothers." 1 Peter 2:17. Keeping our minds fixed on the things above. Paragraphs 15 and 16. Question A. Why is it vital that we keep our minds fixed on the right things? Question B. Why is it important for Christians to maintain good conduct? We live in critical times, hard to deal with. 2 Timothy 3:1. So in order to remain spiritually alert, we must keep our minds fixed on the right things. Consider how we can do so in three aspects of our lives. Our conduct. Peter recognized the importance of good conduct. He said, "Maintain your conduct fine among the nations, so that they may be eyewitnesses of your fine works, and as a result, glorify God." 1 Peter 2:12. Whether we are at home, at work, at school, at play, or in the ministry, we make every effort to bring glory to Jehovah through our fine conduct. True, as imperfect humans, we all make mistakes. But by continuing to fight the fine fight of the faith, we can successfully win the battle against our imperfect flesh. 1 Timothy 6:12. Paragraph 17. Question: How can we imitate the mental attitude that Christ Jesus had? Our attitude. Closely associated with maintaining fine conduct is having the right attitude. The Apostle Paul said, "Keep this mental attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2:5. What sort of disposition did Jesus have? He was humble. Humility moved him to be self-sacrificing in his ministry. Preaching to others about the good news of God's kingdom was foremost in his mind. Jesus viewed God's word as the final authority. He diligently studied the Holy Scriptures so that he could quote them, defend them, and explain them. By being humble and zealous in our ministry and personal Bible study, we will be more Christ-like in our thinking. Paragraph 18. Question: In what important way can we support Jehovah's work? Our support. Jehovah has purposed that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and those on earth. Philippians 2, 9-11. Even in his exalted position, Jesus will humbly submit to his Father's will, and so should we. How so? By giving our wholehearted support to the work that we have been instructed to do, that is, to make disciples of people of all the nations. Matthew 28:19. Also, we want to work what is good toward all, doing good to our neighbor and to our brothers. Galatians 6:10. Paragraph 19. Question: What should we be determined to do? How grateful we are that Jehovah reminds us to keep our minds fixed on the things above. To that end, we need to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. May all of us work whole-souled as for Jehovah, and our Heavenly Father will reward our earnest efforts. Colossians 3:23 and 24. How would you answer? How did Abraham and Sarah demonstrate their faith in Jehovah? How do we know that Moses was focused on doing God's will? In what ways can we keep our minds fixed on the things above? End of article. For further information, please visit our website at www.jw.org. End of magazine.